السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. As always, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala always inspire us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala always use us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala always gives us examples by which we can follow for us to understand that if we follow these great personnel, we will definitely see the unseen help of Allah. We will see the great help. So when we would go to Lanesia, then one stop that would be necessary would be the house of Hafiz Abdul Rahman, ya rahimahullah. And my father would always say, take the dua of Morana, because he is one of the great friends and the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in terms of for us to understand, we would understand him to be Ustadul Asatida, meaning he would be the teacher and the mentor for many great ulama, many great scholars, many that would serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To introduce Hafizab, we have two of Hafizab's family, Hafizab's grandson and grandson-in-law, both who are in the studio. Murana Wali Wala Nabit Ismail, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To you, Hazrat Mulana, and to all our listeners out there, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make this program beneficial for all of us.
Ameen, insha'Allah ta'ala. To begin, before we start this weekend, whoever was students of Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Mia, lovingly known as Malta, you studied by him, you studied under him, please at the Khanqa Masjid this weekend, from Friday right up till Sunday, these programs, they are very senior ulama of our country that will be attending. Even if you're not a student, David Ismail, you can still come and listen.
Everybody's welcome, alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, we all should try and listen. Listen to the audio streaming. Valuable advices will be given and benefit from programs like these when the ulama come together, the seniors, and they speak of their seniors, what rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must be falling. To begin today's program, perhaps we just ask one of our guests to give us some sort of family background to Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahab Rahimahullah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hazrat Hafiz Abdul Rahman Rahmatullah Ali Rahmatan Wasia was a great saint and friend of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And generally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is this, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses a person, and this is not from our side or from Hafiz Sahab's side, this is Allah Rabbul Izzat's khas, fadl and karam on Hazrat Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Mia Rahmatullah Alayhi, that from a young age, Allah chose him for the Quran, for the khidmat of Quran. Hazrat Hafiz Sahab was born in the village of Simlak, which is close to Dabel in India, and approximately in 1912. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed Hafiz Sahab with almost 93 years of life. However, Allah Ta'ala had chosen this great servant for the khidmat and the service of his Qur'an Kareem. And as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ, that the best of you is he who learns and teaches the Qur'an Kareem. Hazrat Hafiz Sahab, just one two amazing incidents of his young life. Hafiz Sahab himself one day told me that when he was 4 years old, he had already memorized the last five paras of the Qur'an just by listening to the imams in Fajr Salah in his village in Simlak. He used to go to the masjid every day and he had memorized the last five paras, what we call the Diwali Mutafassal, just by being and listening to the imams. He became a Hafiz, alhamdulillah, by the age of 7. When we start learning Quran, he was already a Hafizul Quran. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed with Hafiz Sahab with. Alhamdulillah, later, as a young boy, I'm narrating most of the incidents and the information came from his beloved daughter, which is known, affectionately known by everybody as Foy. Her name is Fatima. And she mentioned that Sheikh Abba Rahmatullah Alayh ran away from home to become an alim. And his studies, very few people know, but his studies were actually not done in Dabel, but were done in Dioband. And Sheikh Abba Rahmatullah Alayh, I know, I used to take Mishkat Dars from him, and he had completed the Siha Sita. So in effect, he was an alim, only he refused to write the Bukhari Imtihan because he didn't want to be known as an alim. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Abba Rahmatullah Ali came to South Africa when he was 19 years old. And initially, he lived in Lydenburg, and initially in White River. From there, he moved to Lydenburg. And after about 5 or 6 years, a few years, his father sent him a message and told him that I did not send you to South Africa to do work. I want you to go and teach the Quran Kareem. And that is when Hafiz Sahab went to the Waterford Islamic Institute, which is commonly known as Mia's Farm. And alhamdulillah, thereafter he taught at the Waterford Islamic Institute for over 35 to 40 years. Alhamdulillah.
Hafiz Sahab, where did he complete his under which ustad?
You know, unfortunately, Hafiz Sahab, when he studied, at the time, this is the one unfortunate part, I don't know if Hafiz Sahab maybe can tell me, but Hazrat Hafiz Abdul Rahman studied, I think, in his village and by his family members. And then he had a ustad, which was a local imam. Unfortunately, you know, it's very strange how when Hafiz Sahab was alive, nobody had the courage to ask him that. However, what I do know of Hazrat Hafiz Sahab is that when he was when he was studying in India, then he did, and but he didn't, he, you know, Hazrat Hafiz Sahab, his general manner was such that he would hide. Even his high spiritual status, etc., he would always hide. And if you'd go to him, he'd treat you with more respect as though you were the alim and he was a junior person. So, Hazrat Hafiz Sahab...
Respected listeners, we are speaking about Hazrat Maulana Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahab, rahmatullahi alayh. If you are a student of his, please do give us a call, or alternatively, even better, if you could send us a message. The number is 071-878-9748, and inshallah we will try and read your messages live on air. Marana, we know Hafiz Sahab made khidmat in the Waterford Islamic Institute, as you said, for more than 35 years or around that amount of time. What sort of khidmat of the Quran al-Kareem did Hazrat Hafiz Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi do?
Well, it's difficult to say exactly what in the entire scope of that, but to give some sort of indication, when Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayhi came to South Africa some years back, he met with Hazrat and he said that, "I want to ask you one question before I leave." So he told Hakim Sahab, "Sure, ask." He said, "I'd like to know how many huffaz have you made to date? You know, tell me, like, you know," because normally Madaris would keep a register and they would then, so they are able to enumerate the accolades that they've achieved in the past and so on and so forth. So obviously he thought that Hafiz Sahab would have had something like it as well. And the answer he was given was that Mosab told him, "You know what, I will only know when I enter into my qabr. When Allah Ta'ala will tell me how many of accepted people I've made, then I will know. We keep no track record of it."
Yeah.
So Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah Ali said, if at this time, I think he used the figure, he said he had 1 lakh, I'm subject to correction, which we know in is 100,000. If I had 100,000, it could have been rupees or rands, whatever the currency was, I would have given it to you right now. Such an amazing answer you gave me. So the true scope of his work is not known, but we know that Alhamdulillah, his efforts of Quran date back pre-Mia's Farm, because he taught in Lydenburg and he taught in White River as well prior to him coming to Mia's Farm. So there was a legacy before Mia's Farm, there was a legacy in Mia's Farm itself, and then there was a great legacy which he finished off with in Malaysia as well, Alhamdulillah.
One of the very senior ulama of our country and one of our very elderly ulama, Hazrat Maulana Abbas Abjina Damat Barakatum, Maulana was telling me in the earlier days how they would travel for imtihan. So I said, "Maulana, can you be so kind and just share this with us?" And Maulana graciously accepted. Maulana is live on air. Maulana, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, jazakallah for your time. Maulana, some of your interactions with Hafiz Sahab in terms of going for imtihan to the different places, etc., Maulana?
I was with Hafiz Sahab for at least 4 years after I came back. Before I went back for further studies, I stayed 4 years with him. And that is the time we just started the organizing the madrasas, having a unified syllabus. And we traveled from town to town to go and introduce the syllabus and get the people to accept it. At that time, it was Hazrat Hafiz Sahab, Maulana Ibrahim Miah Sahab, and Hazrat Mufti Sahab, Mufti Sanjavi Sahab also came with us to many places. Hafiz Sahab, because he had been, before he came here, he had been in the Eastern Transvaal. So when we went with him that side, he would relate to us all his experiences in that part of the world, in Leidenberg and that part of Waterfall, Bowen, and so on. And he had an amazing memory also. And one of the good habits Maulana Hazrat Hafiz Sahab had, that whenever he read something which he felt that it should go to some others who should also benefit from it, he would write it down on a piece of paper, whether it is a hadith, whether it is a statement of Hazrat Thanvi, or whether it, and he would give it to us. Yeah, something nice for you. And we would value that. And that was a good habit. And adhkar and so on, he would dawet and keep on giving us, alhamdulillah. We had a very, very good time with Hazrat Hafiz Sahab.
Well, how difficult was it at that time to travel for imtihan?
Well, okay. Not, you know, when you say difficult, I mean, you had a car and you were traveling by car most of the time. So it wasn't really that difficult. In those days, we didn't have these big cars, of course. It was a smaller cars and we were to, you know, five people were to squeeze in. But alhamdulillah, we used to manage. We used to manage, alhamdulillah. And at the same time, although he used to go out with us for to the madrasas and so on, yet his class would not suffer in any way. And sometimes if he came back from somewhere and it was even late afternoon or something, he would go straight away onto his class and he would start teaching. That was the quality of the Hafiz, his dedication, alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah so much. Any final words before we close your program, Maulana?
Well, what can I say? If only all of us, especially those students that have studied Hazrat Hafiz Sahab, would try and inculcate in us the spirit of sacrifice, the spirit of dedication he had in him, I think we would go a very, very long way. Because he was so dedicated, nothing was more important to him than his duty, his teaching, his teaching. And therefore, all of us, especially all his students, if they can dedicate themselves, inshallah ta'ala, they will also benefit greatly, and the people around them will also benefit greatly, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much, Maulana.
Jazakallah.
That was Maulana Abbas Jina Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum. Maulana spent time in the very early years, probably somewhere around the 60s, with Hafiz Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhim, also Sahib going around Imtihan. Hafiz Ismail, Maulana Wadiwala, we're speaking about Hazrat Hafiz Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhim. What are some of the other things that you would like the listeners to know regarding the khidmat of Hazrat Hafiz Sahib or Maulana Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhim?
Salient feature that we can attest to is, and this is something that every student can relate to what I'm saying, can relate to it very clearly, especially more the students of the old and the new. But, you know, for the fact when we know that the Ustad is not going to be in class, that's a happy, happy moment, mashallah. And the time when my uncle, Mu'adh, rahimahullah, passed away, you know, the students were very happy. You know, they say Hazrat looked, they were happy and sad, but happy in the sense that there was no class, and sad that Mosab had lost his son. They were happy that after the janazah, you know, Mosab would go back home and go and see to his visitors and so on and so forth, and for that day they would be free. However, after the janazah, when they came out of the Qabristan, Abba used to live to the left-hand side, and the hostel was towards the right. And he told the guests that, look, Jazakallah for coming. Meals have been prepared, so all of you can go home, but I'm going to class. He turned right and went to the hostel back to class immediately after Janazah.
Allah.
So that is sheer dedication, which we cannot find today. And they say that, you know, your input, your output is equal to your input. So when the input is high, then the output levels are such. And, you know, this is advice that, for myself first as an educator and to all other educators out there, that today we are quick to complain about the caliber of students that we have, but rather we should complain of the caliber of ustads that we have become. So because we are weak in our demeanor, so is our students become. So that is one very, very salient feature. And, you know, Molsa Rahmatullah Ali had one thing that Quran was always his thing. And just this morning, I was talking to Moli Burhan Mia, and he told me that before he, on the last day, or towards the last three days before Molsap left from his house in Mia's farm, he told Mori Buran, the very last memory I want of this house is for you to read the whole Quran to me. And over 3 days, Mori Buran had read the entire Khatam of Quran. And he says all the furniture and everything was removed. There were just a few, you know, a very sparsely put furniture, one or two chairs, and that is basically it. And I remember distinctly Molsap sitting on the one chair and me sitting on the other and reading to him the entire Quran over 3 days.
Subhanallah.
Maulana,
what do you want, anything from your side?
Gee, if I may just mention that Sheikh Hafiz Abdul Rahman Rahmatullah Alayh, Foy was telling me that in the month of Ramadan, just to show his dedication to the Quran, this was a time when in the 1940s and 50s, I'm just quoting first Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Damat Barakatuhu, wa Hafizahullah, that he mentions in Dhikr li Rabbil Alameen, Hazrat writes in the foreword, that at the time when in the 1940s, 50s and 60s, in the entire Transvaal, no Taraweeh used to be recited or in all the Masajid. From Alam Tara downwards, the last 10 surahs used to be recited and that used to be the Taraweeh. And Hafizah was instrumental in bringing Taraweeh, the entire Quran, alive. And Alhamdulillah, it is through his efforts that in every masjid today, not only in Transvaal, but or what was the old Transvaal, the former Transvaal, but in the entire country, that Taraweeh has been recited. And Foy mentioned about his dedication in the month of Ramadan. The first is that in the month of Ramadan...
Before we take that, let's just take, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum. We have Morana Ibrahim Bam live on the line. Morana, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to your distinguished guest and the listeners of Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, tell me, you have interaction with Maulana Hazrat Hafiz Abdul Rahman Miasab rahmatullahi alayh. What is some of your contributions for the program this evening, Maulana?
Well, firstly, I must say that I have not benefited directly from Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, the way the guests who are there and many of the callers who have called in. Obviously, when we came back from Karachi, we studied in Karachi and came. So those who used to go to Waterfall Islamic Institute, they benefited tremendously from Hafiz Abdul Rahman. And obviously, the point and the overwhelming, dominant aspect of Hafiz Abdul Rahman was his love for the Holy Quran, his tilawat, and his attachment to the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that the means of the elevation of his status. But there was another dimension which I benefited, and we also came to interact with Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib. And there was one incident in particular that was something that remained etched in my memory for a long time, and that was that together with being an ustad of the Quran, an ustad of the hafiz of the Quran, and his attachment to the Quran, some of which I've just heard over the airways of Radio Islam, he was also the treasurer for a long period of time of the Jamiat al-Ulama Transvaal at that time. And he used to take and be very meticulous with regard to his position and his responsibility in that regard. And then another great thing which I benefited tremendously was Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib had this great, you know, quality of taking beneficial articles that were from the different periodicals of the Darul Ulooms in India, Pakistan, the Al-Balagh, Bayinat, and then he either used to photostat the articles or even sometimes, which was more time-consuming, despite his great amount of time that he used to give in the Hifz class, was he used to write. And in fact, not only write, I still have the file. in which he used to number the different types of articles that he had. And in that used to be article number one, article number two, right up to 37 and 38. And then especially those ulama who used to give bayans, Hafiz Rahman used to come and give them the paper with regard to it and said, see what an important point Moana so-and-so has written in this periodical, in this article. And he used to distribute it. So anyone who used to go to Waterfall Islamic Institute at that time, Hafiz Rahman had a sheaf of those articles which he had prepared, which he used to give to those ulama to benefit from, to give in their bayans, and also for their own personal islah. That was one aspect that was very, very amazing. And nearly every time you went, Hafiz Rahman always gave you something with regard to some ulum, some articles for your personal islah, or something that you could add into your bayans. And another point that I would like to make mention was, you know, first, the Jamiat al-Ulama used to work on a volunteer basis. So then the time came when in one of the amilas, in one of the meetings, it was decided that you have to have people who could, you know, spend time and they would be remunerated for their services to the Jamiat. So it was decided that you have a person who would be remunerated for 250 rand a month. Now, that time there wasn't a culture for, you know, for Jamiat to give and to give remuneration for the services rendered. By and large, it was done voluntary by the ulama of the time. So, you know, they started in the amila. They said that who's going to take care of the 250 rand a month? That time, in the 70s, 80s, 250 rand a month used to be a salary, and that used to be a salary of a person. So Hafiz Rahman Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, said that I will take this responsibility. And the person who used to do the voluntary, the first type of person who used to be remunerated for his services for the Jamiat, Hafiz Rahman used to give him 250 rand every month for many years. He took that responsibility and said, I will bear that responsibility because there's a need for the Jamiat to have people who are remunerated for their services. So this one of the things that is quite clear from that, together with his effort in the Hifz class, was the aspect of him having such a wide understanding of the needs of the Ummah and contributing towards that also.
Maulana, Jazakallah so much for that valuable input. Allah Ta'ala take the Jamiat from strength to strength, and Allah Ta'ala reward Hazrat for his initial contribution, which has led to so many employees at the Jamiat al-Ulama.
Jazakumullah.
Maulana Waliwala, we've discussed Hazrat Abid Abdurrahman Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh in terms of his khidmat to Quran, in terms of his dedication, in terms of his involvement in the imtihanat of the time, in terms of his being the treasurer of the Jamiat al-Ulama. What are some of the other aspects we have not yet covered?
Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Maulana Ibn Hafiz Abdurrahman Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh was, I'm just going to touch now a little bit on the family we'll talk a little bit about, and maybe we'll talk about, first of all, his ta'alluq with his sheikh. Hassan Hafiz Abdurrahman Sahib was a khalifa of Sheikh Abdul Ghafur Basi, rahmatullah alayhi, who was from Madinatul Munawwara. And his khilafat he received from Hazrat Mullah Abdul Ghafur Sahib Abasi. He also received khilafat from Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Gangohi, rahmatullah alayhi, and many other senior ulama, but he never ever showed this. In fact, just to go back to the time when Hazrat Hafiz Sahib went for Hajj, and Hazrat Hafiz Sahib, this was around the 1940s or early towards 1950, Hafiz Sahib went for Hajj with Tadima, with his wife, and he took both his parents, and at that time his son was Maulana Muhammad Sahib, he took him with. But something we don't know is that while he was in Makkatul Mukarrama and in Madinatul Munawwara, and I know Dadima, I actually heard her telling me that at that time where the Mataf used to end, then that is where they used to stay. The houses were basically, now when we go up the stairs, that is the area where they used to stay. But Foy was telling me that for the duration of his stay in Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara, and in that zamana, in that era, there wasn't restaurants in that available as it is in the hotels as it is today. So Dadima used to cook personally, and daily he would feed 20 ulama in Makkatul Mukarrama and the same in Madinatul Munawwara till he returned back again to South Africa, alhamdulillah. Then together with that, we find Hafiz Sahab was always very fond of children. And, you know, just one two incidents about his marriage. This Dadima also said that, Foy mentioned, and Dadima also told me, that she was busy one day cooking some fruit cakes. And at that time, her brother came. Hafiz Abdurrahman had come and proposed. Her brother, whose name was also Abdurrahman Mia, he said he accepted. He said yes. And on the same day, Darima was married to Sheikh Abba Rahmatullah Ali. There was no bride's dress, no trousseau, nothing like that. In fact, Darima used to say that the first time she saw her husband was after she made nikah with him. Alhamdulillah. And together with that also, alhamdulillah wa ni'ma, when we talk of Sheikh Abba Rahmatullah Ali, if I may just mention one, two incidences of people, great ulama, for example, Hazrat Sheikh Hudhayfi, who was the imam of the Masjid al-Nabawi in Madinatul Munawwara, and later was in charge of both the harams. When he came to South Africa, it is mentioned that when he went to Darul Zakaria or to some Darul, he asked certain ulama that I would like to go meet Hafiz Abdurrahman. And they said, okay, and they organized for him to come and visit Hafiz Abdurrahman. And he came, he met Hafiz Abdurrahman. Then later somebody asked him, that Sheikh, why is it that you are specifically for this person? So then Sheikh Hudhayfi, Hafizahullah, told them that probably in a dream that I had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that when you go to South Africa, go greet this man and convey my salams to him. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
A
message coming in, Sheikh Abba was a true description of dedication when it came to Quran. Our relationship with the family goes back to 1975 until Abba's demise. Even in sickness and weakness, he was dedicated to the Quran. Allah accept and reward him. Ramadan door with Abba was unique and special for his students. Morana Abdulaziz Leher from Kempton Park says that. Morana, you had some other thoughts that you would like to share? Maulana, can please do carry on.
You know, since we're speaking about the month of Ramadan and they mentioned Sheikh Hafiz Abdurrahman's khidmat of deen, what was unique about him is compared to all of us other ulama, Allah Ta'ala grant us also hidayah to follow in his footsteps. But the first thing Sheikh Foy told me, and I didn't know this, that Sheikh Abba Rahmatullah Ali, for his deeni khidmat, he took a salary, but in the month of Ramadan, he never took a salary. It was unpaid. And the second, in the month of Ramadan, he would leave from home after Sahri, long before Fajr, straight after Sahri, he would go to the masjid. And he would spend the whole day in the madrasa, at Mia's farm at Waterfall Islamic Institute. A little time he'd come in the afternoon and rest a bit. And then he'd only come back at iftar time. And after iftar, he'd go back again to the madrasa, and he would only come at home when the taraweeh was completed. In other words, at that time, they had students, because what Hafiz Sahab, to try and implement bringing Quran into the masajid, as was mentioned, that the taraweeh, the full Quran was not recited. So Hafiz Sahab used to send his students, no matter how much Quran they had done, they had to go and read, whether it be a quarter, less than a quarter, but each one of his students would go and read taraweeh. They went to places like Newtown, Kirk Street, Newlands, Westbury, and many other areas. And Hafiz Sahab would only return home when the students had all come back from wherever they had gone for taraweeh. He would ask them how they had recited, what they recited. If he received any complaints, he reprimanded the students. And this was his entire routine throughout the month of Ramadan, to bring the Quran alive, that is, recitation of the Quran Kareem in the various masajid in our province. Alhamdulillah.
Maulana, tell me, in terms of his sifat, his qualities that he had, you know, as a grandson-in-law, or Hafiz Ismail as a grandson, how would Abba Rahmatullah Ali interact with you all as family?
I must tell you something, that Molsab was a unique man. One of his many qualities was that when he was with children, he knew to be with a child. When he was with the women folk, he knew to address them. When he was with the elderly, he knew to address them as well. And he maintained the same level of respect for everybody. One incident comes to mind. One day one of the students, you know, sometimes you get students of different nature. Some students are more of the questioning nature, who have no qualms in asking the ustad anything. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with it, but so long one maintains their respect. So quite respectfully he said, Malsab, I notice that whenever you leave, you are straightening the shoes of Mahasan Jalvi Rahmatullah Ali. Now, in my eyes, you know, Allah knows best, but in my eyes, you look like you are the senior and he's your junior. So why do you straighten his shoes? So he said, there was a time that I learned some chapters of Farsi from him. Hence, he is my ustad. And I will respect him as such. So he knew exactly how to maintain his composure and his balance when he was with everyone, with different people. And he was extremely loving. One thing is, he didn't like hiding, but he hit us a lot. But one thing is, whenever you got the hiding, the difference was the ustad of today hits because he's upset with you, he's cross with you, and there's an element of hate with it. When Hazrat used to hit, he used to hit you because he loved you to learn and he loved you. And even after that, his guilty conscience would prick him that, you know, I hit this child. And he would always come and give you a sweet or something afterwards to make up for it. Not that it was needed anyways. So, Alhamdulillah, Hazrat had, he had some exceptional features. There's so many things I can mention, but time obviously doesn't allow. But these are just a few that come to mind. One other thing is that Hazrat, you know, he used to always, in the time when he passed away, he used to earn a couple of hundred rands. I think it was around 850 or something in that region. But it was minimal. And at the time, the national standard of wages for a youth teacher could have been around 6,000 or 7,000 rands. And even bearing in mind his salary was minimal, with that money, Alhamdulillah, he used to run the entire home. And also with that, in the month of Ramadan, he refused to take wages. When he was asked, why aren't you taking salary or any remuneration in the month of Ramadan, he used to say that Allah has said that the month of Ramadan is the Quran's month. So based on that, on that ayat of Quran, of Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, I will not take wages because this is the month of Quran. So Alhamdulillah, money was never the thing. And Alhamdulillah, I've noticed in his life that he could make 1 rand equal into 100 rand.
Alhamdulillah.
Mulana, if I may just mention that Hazrat Hafiz Abdul Rahman, when it came to his qualities of putting his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something beyond which we can understand. For Allah, when, you know, there were times where Sheikh Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib, you know, as Maulana Baham had mentioned, that he took the responsibility of paying the 250 rand. And probably his wages at that time was about 300 rand himself. It wasn't, you know, I don't know what barakah Allah used to put in his home, but whenever you went in his home, there was never a shortage of anything. And he'd take care of his family in the most wonderful manner. His interaction with the children was unbelievable. Just to mention this, because Foy mentioned it, that my youngest daughter was, or my third daughter, Fatima, was just born, and she was in the time in Abba's house. And generally, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Malsab had this habit, that when he used to be listening to the students reading Quran e Kareem, then sometimes he would sit with the haqar, like that sugar.
Sugar sweets.
Yeah, sugar sweets. So he used to come in the room, and when Abba wasn't looking, she used to, you know, steal it and run away. So what Abba used to do, amazingly, he would put the bowl close to her, and he'd turn and look the other side. So that she would be able to take, and, you know, she felt she got the sweet and ran away out of the room. And he looked after the children like that. You know that smile on his face when he'd see young children come in front of him, his grandchildren. This was his great-grandchild. Alhamdulillah, it's an amazing thing that we can't explain. It was like seeing the moon come out, or perhaps seeing the shining sun. Alhamdulillah.
Another message coming on one occasion during the holidays, I hurt my eye. Abba Rahmatullah Alayhi recommended I put honey and it was sorted out. Another message, Abba himself said that the one time when he went to the Haramain, there were so few people performing tawaf, you could literally count them. At that time, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accepted Hafiz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi to go for Umrah. Marana Sahib, I did not get the number, but I would like to say, Hafiz Sahib was our ustad, he was our mentor, he was like a father to us, and Allah filled his qabr with noor of the Quran al-Kareem, which he had immense love for. Obviously, standing out for us listeners is Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Mia Rahmatullah Ali's love, his attachment, his service to the Quran al-Kareem, and whatever then follows comes from that, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it gives so much via the Quran. Another message coming in, Abba used to make iftar at the hostel in Ramadan, a short iftar, and return to class to listen to the students. After Taraweeh, students used to practice how to perform Taraweeh, two rakats per learner. This gave them confidence to become a hafiz. Also from the iftar that came from Hafiz Ab's house, he used to share with the students. And from that day, this is what the ustad, that who's now a ustad, he now shares his iftar with his students by virtue of learning from Hafiz Ab, rahmatullahi alayhi. Obviously, a legacy creates a legacy, and that is the elders that we are there. So these are some of the qualities. One question I want to ask either one of the two. What are some of the ma'amulat of Hafiz Ab, rahmatullahi alayhi?
Mali Ubaidullah, there has been Hazrat had many ma'amulat that he used to do, and alhamdulillah, Mali Yusuf Pakhas had a few days ago brought something, you know, which was, I could really say it was a treasure. Abba Rahmatullah used to have a small little book on his bedside. Obviously it was very torn and the pages were extremely frayed. Alhamdulillah, he managed to scan it, and alhamdulillah, Mala Abdul Rahman Kolya from Roshni, we tasked this opportunity with him, and alhamdulillah, he has done the rewriting of it, the retypesetting of the Arabic, and inshallah, for those that will come for the reunion, inshallah, we are going to give it out at the function for everybody to use from this special wazaif that Mala Abdul Rahman Kolya used to read.
Subhanallah.
Mulana, if I may just come in here, Hazrat Hafiz Abdul Rahman was a very great wali and friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a tahajjud guzar, a person who never left out tahajjud. But just to mention the greatness of this man, that when, there are two things I want to mention. The first is, Abba mentioned that when he was a young boy and he was living in India, he used to come in and out of the house of Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayh. And the second is, yes, so he spent his youth and his childhood in the home of Anwar Shah Kashmir, rahmatullahi. This is when Hazrat Anwar Shah Sahib left Deoband. And when he came, then he was teaching at Dabil, but his home was in Simlak, the village of Abba. It's like next door to each other. And
okay,
it just may be about, like, you know, four or five houses down from where Abba used to live. And Hafiz Molsap used to go in and out in the presence of Mullah Anwar Shah Kashmir, rahmatullahi. Then Sheikh Abba had a very special ta'alluq with Hazrat Binori, rahmatullahi. And Sheikh Abba used to mention that when Hazrat Binori, rahmatullahi, used to travel, then generally he would, you know, his khadims used to be there, but he used to sleep alone in his room. But when Sheikh Abba, rahmatullahi, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Molsap was with him, then he would tell Molsap, you must sleep in the same room with me so that we both can read Tahajjud Salah together. Well, if we also continue, then the rest of it was day in, day out. There was nothing other than Quran. And apart from Quran, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I may just mention, because this not many people will be aware, Sheikh Abba rahmatullahi was a very great sheikh in the line of tasawwuf. Although he himself never ever took bayat. When you asked him that, Hazrat, many people came and asked him, Foy told me the same thing. She told him that, Abba, please, let me take bayat with you. He said, my bayat is the Quran. You just read La ilaha illallah. You just read La ilaha illallah a lot. Yeah. And Sheikh Abba, rahmatullahi, when we sat with him, sometimes we used to come on a Thursday, we used to have a majlis, and this was after Abba had suffered the stroke. So we used to go sit in his room, and Sheikh Abba, rahmatullahi, was from Naqshbandi Silsila. And they used to, and normally they make their dhikr, and their dhikr is a silent dhikr, so they make muraqaba type of dhikr. But when he used to just say muraqaba, and Sheikh Abba used to drop his head, then you used to hear like a pot boiling what is mentioned of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in performing salah. You know, it is, and Allah forgive us, because what we used to do is we used to sit there, and I was still a young alim, I just graduated. So I used to sit there, and when they start making dhikr, it actually used to sound like, you know, almost like a bomb or a cracker initially. And then you used to hear like a boiling noise from Sheikh Abba's chest. And, you know, we used to sit with our eyes closed, and then sometimes you open one eye and you peep to see what's happening. That's what I used to do, Allah forgive me. I didn't know what the real reality of muraqabah and that was.
Muraqabah,
Allah Ta'ala forgive us. But alhamdulillah, you know, the only regret we have is we didn't take as much advantage. But on the other hand, I think every single student will tell you that Abba pushed everything across into their hearts. Alhamdulillah, we find that, you know, when we look at ulama, when we look at his students, you can understand the caliber. In hadith, we are told that if a person, you know, a rawi of hadith, if he has two well-known students, he's no longer regarded as majul, an unknown rawi of hadith. When we look at Sheikh Abba Rahmatullah Ali, we find that his caliber of students are people like Mulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, the principal of Darulum Azadul, Mulana Hassan Dakurat, Mulana Ibrahim Sariji, Mulana Ibrahim Desai. There are so many ulama. These are just people who virtually are principals of institutes themselves. And when we look at the caliber of these ulama, then we realize what a great man this must have been in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact,
undoubtedly, in
Dhikr li Rabbil Alameen, it is mentioned that someone saw a dream when Sheikh Abba Rahmatullah Ali passed away. And Allah had blessed him with a place in A'la Illiyin, close to Nabi Ibrahim alayhimu salatu wasalam.
Subhanallah.
Just to mention one more thing, on Abba's dedication to Quran, he used to always say that when I pass away, then I also want a student in my grave. I want to continue teaching Quran. So one day someone asked him, Molsab, tell me who that student will be. Then he mentioned a student's name, who I shall not mention on the radio. He said a certain student's name. And when Abba Rahmatullah Ali passed away, I remember, you know, speaking to one of the family members of the deceased now and saying, make your father's khidmat, he hasn't got long to go. He said, what you saying? I said, just do what I'm telling you. And a few months later, that man also passed away. And alhamdulillah, the qabars are very close to one another also. So Allah accepted even that dua of his, that he has a student to teach in his qabar.
Hazrat Mawlana, our Hafiz Hafiz, he's doing what Abba used to do. He used to hide. The person is Hafiz Musa Takawliya. And the covers are virtually right almost next to each other. Abba asked that, give me this person that even in my cover, I want to listen to his Quran. And virtually maybe about 20 meters away or 30 meters away from Abba's cover is Hafiz Musa Rahmatullahi also. May Allah Ta'ala accept the ustad and the student.
Ameen.
May Allah accept all of us also to be with him.
Ameen.
Maulana,
tell me just to carry on,
Ismail. Maulana, if you just mentioned it, alhamdulillah, this weekend, inshallah, you know, we're having the Malsab reunion. And the purpose of this, and we would like to give dawat to everyone in the Indonesia and in the surrounding areas, that we are having over, inshallah, approximately about 150 to 200 of senior ulama who will be all arriving and who have already registered and will be coming to the program. Alhamdulillah, the program, inshallah, Hafiz Ismail will mention who are the speakers and he may mention the times. But alhamdulillah, it will be starting on Jum'ah, and this Jum'ah, to accommodate us, alhamdulillah, or to accommodate the program, our Jummah Salah, the Adhan, will be at 12 o'clock. Thereafter, alhamdulillah, because Abba was dedicated to Quran, so we will begin with a Qiraat of the Quran Kareem. Thereafter, inshallah, Mufti Ibrahim Saliji will give the talk, and thereafter, he will perform the Jummah Salah, and the program will continue, inshallah. This, just to mention it before we forget, that not only this, initially it was decided that it was supposed to be for the students, a reunion to bring all Abba students together, but later with the mashwara of ulama, when we realized that there is such a great amount of great luminaries of South Africa, great ulama, senior ulama of South Africa who will be attending, it was decided that we should make it arm, that everybody should benefit from the barakah of these ulama and from the Ustaz Sheikh Abba Rahmatullah Ali. So it is an open invitation that all men, everyone should come. In fact, even the youth are invited. There will also be a youth program on Saturday that will be conducted by Mulana Burhan Mia and Mulana Abdus Salam Karan, who is Mulana Taha Karan, who will also be one of our guest speakers and one of the speakers in our program, inshallah.
I must tell the listeners, Mufti Ibrahim Sahib, Ahmed Barakatum, doesn't travel out for programs in a hurry out of Durban. I've been trying for such a long time to get Mufti Sahib. So that Mufti Sahib is coming to our area. I'm requesting those that are around Friday, if you are available, make yourself available for Jummah. Listen to Mufti Sahib. undoubtedly very, very valuable advices will be given. May Allah Ta'ala give us that understanding and the spirituality from our Akabir. Abdul Ismail, who are some of the other guests that you have online?
Maulana, alhamdulillah, we besides Mufti Ibrahim Sahab, we've got Ma Abdul Hamid. Ma Abdul Hamid Sahab, who will be sharing one slot with Ma Yunus Dayat. It will be on Saturday between Maghrib and Isha. There will be obviously a small intermission in between. There will be a Nizam. And then basically other programs, other speakers will be inshallah Maulana Rafiq Haturani, Maulana Musa Pandor, Maulana Abdullah Malvi, Hafiz Ahmad Patel. Ma Abraham Mia himself will be giving one bayan also. Ma Toa Karan will be giving a bayan. Kari Ismail Tesai will be present, inshallah. Maulana Hassan Dokrat will also be there. And then, inshallah, on Sunday morning, the last and final will be with Mufti Razaul Aksab and Maulana Shabir Saluji Sahab, inshallah, who will handle the morning slot. And there are many others. I cannot obviously say all of them because we are on tight time constraints here. But alhamdulillah, the program has been posted onto social media. It's also available from, we have a dedicated website which we set up, which is www.molsap, is in MOLSAAP dot co.za. On this website also, for those students of Molsap, Rahmatullah Ali, you can find, we are slowly populating the list, so keep checking back onto the website. In its original form, the books that Molsap used to write, many of his students will remember this. Those books are slowly being scanned on and sent and uploaded. And also, I have a real treasure for all the students of Molsap, is that I have a recording that was sent to me by one of the family members of one of the Khatmul Qurans that Molsap did. And it concludes with Molsap's dua, and it's an absolute tearjerker for all the students who will really appreciate it, the old students who can listen to it, inshallah. So that will also be available on the website for download from the audio section is from tomorrow, inshallah. And all other info will be posted on this, a central point to access for anything that people may require.
Jazakallah khairah to our guest, and a special jazakallah to my colleague and my sati, Maulana Ishaq Mia Damat Barakatuhum, who has put this whole program together for us. May Allah Ta'ala reward him as well. Inshallah, this will be something that we all should try and attend. Make a point of attending. They are senior ulama. It is in service of one of the great scholars of our country. May Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. And all our ulama that are alive, may Allah grant them long life, good health, and may Allah grant us the ability to benefit from them. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, my guest Abid Ismail and Morana Wadiwala, inshaAllah we say Jazakallah and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أين العلماء هم الأقماء في كل خفاء أو ظلمة ودعاة لله.